The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
Coming up on today's experience, devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflection. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life. Isn't that the way to do it? The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think he is. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. Wouldn't that be great if we used some of the life lessons that the Lord has taught us all this time as Christians? What a brilliant thought that is. Let's do that. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes. Your phone calls. And more.
Living this life, not always easy.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 1,800 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. We don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. You know, you go through life, you wake up, you go through your job, you do your morning commute, maybe you go to school, maybe you're taking care of the kids, whatever the case may be. And you keep existing, you keep doing things, and you find out that there's peak moments where you spend time with the Lord, and it's fantastic. Like Sunday at church, when the worship is really good, yeah. But then there's those other times. We're talking a lot about those other times as well. Hey, here's the bottom line. If you have an opinion or a comment, a thought or a question, something that's working in, on the inside of you. The Lord's showing you something. You're learning something. You got questions about something. You got a comment about something. As long as you keep it copacetic or, as we say, cool. Keep it cool, okay? The idea is to encourage one another. If you want a format just for complaining, I can give you 100 of them. But not today. Not here. Not now. Here's the bottom line. You get to share these things, prayer requests, praise reports. We do Bible trivia, anything that we engage with as we what? Fellowship with one another as we see the day approaching, encouraging one another to stand firm in the faith. You can reach us by calling 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, notice how I got that in three times.
That's great.
That's pretty good. Right? Just get it in there. You end up talking to Terrific T. When you talk to her, it's like a warm blanket on a cold morning, right? Is that not the greatest thing? You
the
wake
greatest.
Up, it's just like, oh, yeah, I'm getting out of here. This is perfect, right? Then she turns you over to me, and it's like that warm blanket completely breaks your electric blanket, and you're just left there with no blanket. That's how it is when you talk to me. That's sad. Anyway, it's really nice, though, when you talk to her. Then you end up talking to me. What do? You call 972-445-0770. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can email David at hemustincrease.org. David, well, that's me, at hemustincrease.org. I met somebody the other day at my grandson's birthday. His name was David. I said, you were named after a king. I said, I wasn't, but you were. That's what I told him. David at hemustincrease.org. Please do not forget, as we are in need of our most precious and simplistic website that we can think of, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, there you go. Hey, here's how we're going to start this week off, because this is Monday. A lot of people get up Monday. Monday's like kind of like getting through it day. Tuesday may be a little more productive. Wednesday's then Thursday's kind of like rounding the corner. You get back to Friday, and it's like, oh, it's Saturday. Then Sunday, they start the whole thing again. Have you noticed it's repetitive? It happens on every day that ends with Y. Here's the that is every day, isn't it? Let's see, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is everything that has happened in the past, you could do nothing about. Stop. Stop sitting there and looking backwards. It's really difficult to walk through a busy street looking backwards, right? Life is busy. Stop looking backwards. There's nothing that you can do about what was. Unless God has given you the time machine, which I'm pretty sure he has not, you can do nothing about what was. You can do about what is and prepare for what will be, but nothing about what was. Let it go. Stop holding on to it. Stop letting it eat at you. Stop letting it bug you. Stop letting it irritate you. Did you do something dumb? Did you say something dumb? That happens to me every single day of my life. But there's something that's so wonderful about the morning. That dumb stuff I said is over. Now I'm moving forward. Let it go. Just move forward. That's what I'm going to encourage you to do right now. Just let that stuff go. Hey, let's pray real quickly, okay? Father, we come before you and we just ask for all of us who are kind of stuck in some stupid things that we said or did or something that somebody did to us that really hurt our feelings or something that happened, even at church, and it was just a bummer and it really weighs on us and takes a lot away from us. Lord, just help us to let those things go instead of carrying them around like garbage on our back. Help us just to drop the bag, leave it in your hands, and just move forward, letting go of that which is behind and pressing forward to that which is before us. Help us to do that. We need your help in it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Let's get rolling. I'm going to tell you just, I'll give you the update on school in a little bit. It's a good update. It's a good update. It's a good update. That's all I want to say. It's a good update. But let me get into this. This is a classic. So I want you to understand, we've been talking about the attitudes or the Beatitudes, and we bring them in, we bring them out. I haven't gone crazy on it. I haven't done expository on it, but the Beatitudes are the attitudes to be. That's the one you want to be. And in all of these Beatitudes that you go through, and I had mentioned, I think probably this week we'll get into how the very beginning of the Beatitudes is really kind of a breakdown of a person becoming a Christian. It's really fascinating that Adam Clark did. But I want you to realize that every beatitude that you can function in is only functionable because of, ready, Jesus. Your connection to Jesus enables you to accomplish these things. And in the next segment, we're going to discuss how that really functions, how that really goes. But I want to talk about this one because we have a song that we sing about it. So I really want to, I don't want to sing the song, but I want to tell you about it. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Remember? Okay. I'm done singing. Here's the bottom line. We're supposed to live our lives in such a way that people can see the things that we're doing, and that brings glory to God the Father. However, in the context of Matthew 5 and 6, Jesus said, yeah, but that doesn't apply to when you're fasting. So when you're fasting, you don't go and point to your face and go, look, I'm fasting. I'm super spiritual. Don't you like me? Okay, that's not what you're supposed to do. And it's not supposed to be when you're giving. Look at me, I'm digging into my pocket and actually giving a $20 bill instead of a $1 bill. I'm so fantastic. You're not supposed to give and you're not supposed to fast in ways that other people can see you. Those are things that you do in secret before your Father. However, there are things that we're supposed to do, function in, good works that we do that lets our light shine. And you might be thinking, well, what are those things? Your answer is going to blow your mind. Nothing in particular. Everything you do, do it as knowing that you're doing it with the Father watching you. So when you talk to people with a loving element, when you share with people, when you are functioning and serving in some capacity, do it in such a way as to honor God the Father, and just be real about it. In other words, there's a a condemnation to those that do good works so they can find the ability to impress people. But there is an honor and a blessing to those who do what they do in order to honor God. And so whatever you do, it's not even a particular anything. Whatever you do it as before the Lord in sincerity. Don't be hypocritical. And don't be announcing it. Would you come up to God and announce, I'm doing great things for you. Boy, are you lucky to have me in church. You would never do that. Well, okay, then don't do that. Everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. You don't have to hide everything you do. You should hide the things that should be secret, like fasting, like giving, because Jesus gave us those specific instructions. But the idea is to let your light shine. Be different. Watch this. Be like Jesus. I know everybody didn't like the what would Jesus do, the WWJD and the bracelets and stuff, but it was not the worst question in the world. How would Jesus handle it? How would he approach it? It's not the worst thing to say. My point is, whatever you do, however you function, however you deal with people, however you deal with your circumstance, other people are always watching and listening and seeing what's going on. So do it as unto the Lord. Even if you don't think somebody knows. And even if you don't think it's being recorded, it's being recorded. If you live your life in that understanding that all the world is before the Lord and he shows his wisdom through the church, the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and powers everywhere, you'll understand that you're always on TV one way or another. So do it genuinely, whatever you do, as unto the Lord. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
What's happening is the churches and educators and our government and everybody is too concerned about being politically correct. And what's happened is the walls have fallen down, and we need to rebuild them, and we need to build them back. And the only way we can do that is with God's people taking a stand.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I will say, especially in regards to the political correctness, it's just man's attempt to establish their own righteousness apart from God. And that's why it has so much confusion attached to it that nobody can figure out what's going on, because it goes all over the place.
Well, the only hope for America is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Our hope, my hope is in God and his people taking a stand this coming election season. And let's get men and women in office. And again, I'm not telling people who vote for, but we need to take a stand for God's truth and his righteousness.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I just want to thank you and extend a thank you to you for taking the time to come on the show, sharing with us, giving us that perspective. I appreciate it. And it was a privilege and an honor for me to have you on the show, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Franklin Graham.
Like any person searching for answers, I, too, have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM. On Christ the
Solid Rock, I stand. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget about September and Glenn and livinginhisgrip.com, where you can get some free music from them. Great sister-in-law. I mean, September's great, so we really appreciate her. Let's see. There was a couple things I did want to cover. We'll do the trivia question, and then we're going to do DNA, and then I'm going to give you an update on school. I will tell you that Sunday. So on Saturday was my grandson's birthday, Carter Bear's birthday, and they got a bouncy house, you know, area thingy, and I came to the birthday party. I won't tell you what was going on when I first walked in there, but let's just say kids never really think about, you know, where to go to the bathroom when they're outside. So anyway, I got in the bouncy, spent about the first 45 minutes of the entire party just throwing kids up and down on the slides in the bouncy. It was really quite therapeutic, I thought. They were having a blast. Let's do our trivia question. I'm going to do this one more day because I like it, and then I found a whole other section that goes the exact opposite. So we're talking about the first verse in the book of the Bible. I found a whole bunch of trivia questions on the last verse, too. We'll do that later in the week, but let's just stick with the first. What book of the Bible is this where the first verse opens with this? Here is the first trivia question. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. What first verse of what book? In other words, it's the first verse of a book. What book was that? Third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. You think you know, you are welcome to text in, as answers are coming in already. Text in to 214-210-8483 or call in 972-445-0770. What book of the Bible is that the first verse in? That is the question. It's a good one, right? That's a good one. A little discussion there about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebi, as we call him often. That's one. That's two. Let's do DNA. Let's do that real fast. DNA, D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. So I just want to make sure everybody hears this word. Daily. Not the Daily Planet like a newspaper. Daily is in every day of your life. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D, and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what he had to say. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve, because that means you are connecting to God and also connecting to the people around you, loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay, you can't go wrong with that, right? All right. Last on the trivia, we've got people texting in all over the place, which is great. Chance for people to call. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. What is that first verse? What book is that from? I got people responding right away. If you know, you're welcome to reach out and to let us know. I will give you – oh, somebody's calling in. So we want to give them that chance, and then I will give you an update on school because you guys have been praying, right? I know you've been praying for my paper. I'll tell you what happened. So everything happened Saturday, Sunday, and this morning. It's really fascinating. And then additionally, we're going to do another teach. So let's get ourselves ready for that as well. We ready for the person? Not quite yet. All right. Then I'll give you an update on school. Here's what happened for the people that are praying for me in the school. I submitted my – this paper was not even the longest paper that I've done. I mean, not by a long shot. I've done 55, 60, 65 pages with 100 citations and so on and so forth. But this one was the most meticulously examined paper that I have ever submitted. I mean, if you put a parentheses in the wrong spot, you lost several points. It was like pretty tough, right? So I got the paper submitted, and I was really concerned about it, submitted it on Saturday, but I gave it the best that I had. You can only do the best you can, then you got to let it go. And I got a very, very, very good grade on it. But the more important thing was that the teacher wrote back, because you have to follow a logical process. He said, outstanding paper.
It's like when you have your PhD guy saying outstanding paper, somebody who's published multiple books, you're thinking, yes. And then I did my final today, and I killed it and got an A for the class, and I'm done, and I get 1 week off. So for all of you that have been praying for me, it worked. That's my answer. All right, is this person ready to answer the trivia question? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are you? Did you have a nice weekend?
Hey, congratulations on your paper. That's great.
Thank you so much. I'm so, so, so happy. It's a big weight off of me, so I really appreciate that.
What was it? What was the paper on?
It was on the difference between the attractional church and the missional church. And so I had to do multiple citations on what's good about each, what's bad about each, where they cross over, and which one you got to stand with in the scriptures. So it's really kind of a pretty deep theological approach, understanding that every church has to center on the gospel or it's not doing the right thing. So that was my whole premise of argument.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, fascinating. All right, Mary, okay. What do we got? What book of the Bible starts with this? In the third year of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. What book?
Jeremiah, I believe.
Okay, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to go just over right of Jeremiah. Who is after Ezekiel?
Let me see. Daniel?
That is correct! That's it! That's it.
Oh, I thought that was Jeremiah.
That's okay.
Let me tell you, Jeremiah kept warning the people that Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, were going to come in and siege them or come in and take them, which they did. You know, it took four. Three times, Nebuchadnezzar and his army came in, and they took people from Jerusalem back to Babylonia.
That's right. Babylonia. That's right. Three times. Yeah, that's three strike rule, right? You got three strike. One, two, three. You're out.
I guess to show you, I don't know as much about the Old Testament as I do the New, but anyway.
Yep.
Well, thank you.
Good job, Mary. Good job. Great to hear your voice. I'd love to hear it.
Oh. Well, okay.
Thanks, Mary.
Okay, well, I like your program, so I try to listen every time I can.
I appreciate that. God bless. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and Lord bless you, too, real good this week, okay? And I hope you did really well on your final test.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
All righty.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Mary, stepping in. Good job. Good job. So that would be Daniel. That was the book of Daniel. All right. Matthew 5:20. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to throw a curveball. You know, theology is not – it's for everybody here. You know, theology, theos is God, and ology is study, no matter what they tell you. It's the doctrines of this and this. Ology, study. So theology is the study of God. Got it. Not that big a deal. Matthew 5:20, for I say unto you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes or the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. There are three major interpretations that go with this text. I think all three apply, which is not me being wishy-washy. I'm very specific when I get into these things. But in this case, I really do think that they're kind of all in application because you can look at this scripture from a couple of different angles. The first is this might refer to imputed righteousness, which is only comes to us through Jesus Christ. Imputed righteousness means this. Say I have a quarter in my hand, and then I say, put out your hand. And then I say, okay, I'm going to give you a quarter. And then I put the quarter in your hand. But in actuality, I take the quarter back, and then I say, close your hand. Okay, and then I say, all right, in my mind, you have a quarter. That's imputed. In my brain, I think you have the quarter that I put there. Okay? Even though you don't physically have it, in my mind, it's been imputed unto you. That's imputed righteousness. That's what I think that is the main text here. It also may refer to genuine righteousness because the Pharisees were hypocrites. I think that's applicable too. And Jesus calls them out on it. In his entire Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he says, look, you guys are doing this, you're saying this, you're going about it this way. This is all, it's a lie. Stop doing this. And then another part about the righteousness is that it's being done, well, like we talked about in the last segment, a lot of these people were doing things for God for show. Ah, look at me, look at me, look at me. I know it's hard to believe, but Christianity is not Hollywood. Amazing, right? And even a fourth one is that everything should actually just be done with the idea of pleasing God. And since the Pharisees and scribes didn't do things just to please God but to please people, that's another element. So you got four different elements that really fall into this passage about our righteousness surpassing that of the Pharisees. One, it's imputed to us. It's the righteousness we receive from Jesus Christ. Number two, it's genuine. It's real righteousness because of the changes God makes in our heart. Number three, it's because the righteousness that the Pharisees were using were all done for show. And number four, what we should be doing is everything that we do based on trying to honor and please God best we can. No, that doesn't save you, but yes, that's the right reflection of our engagement with God. And so the idea behind that is for us to understand that this passage is not saying that the scribes and the Pharisees were righteous, but that you and I better have a righteousness that's better than that baloney righteousness. It's just like, yeah, you can't pull that stuff off. You got to be like, you know, real. And you know what another part of righteousness is? You won't like this. If you do something wrong, owning it. That's another part of righteousness, because a right person honors and owns if they do it wrong. Ha! What do you think of them apples? Thank you very much. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
But Jameer, are you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you have an answer on how many days between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension?
Is it 40 days?
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. Very nice. Did you have to look it up, Jameer, or did you know?
The funny thing is, I was reading this book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, and then it was just talking about how God, like, transforms a lot of people's lives in 40 days, you know, and that happened to be one of the things that he was speaking about. So that was funny. I had just read that today, too.
Wow, great timing.
It taught me something. It taught me something, too. So it's funny how you just spoke about it on the radio show, so I just had to call in, man. I always listen, so.
So the trivia question actually had a meaning for you.
It did. And now that just pushes me to, like, be more into also my Bible, because if I was, like, I should have known that, you know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, that taught me something. I thank you for at least having that question, because there's a lot of people who didn't know that, you know, so you're still teaching a lot of people. So thank you.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.